This is the Startup CEO, a podcast for the innovators, the problem solvers, and the leaders of the next generation of business, giving you insights on how to be a successful startup CEO. With your hosts, Jeff Graham and Luke Fox.
Hello and welcome to the third in a series of four podcasts about how to be a successful startup CEO. I'm Luke Fox, the founder and CEO of White Fox, a global leader in drone security. Our speaker today is a personal mentor of mine who has helped many CEOs achieve successful companies. I am honored today to introduce Jeff Graham. Jeff has been himself a CEO in four different Silicon Valley startups over the past 20 years. Before that, Jeff was a senior executive in four publicly traded computer companies. Today, we are talking about key business metrics and management cycle. Jeff, where's the best place to start?
Well, I'd like to start today, Luke, with covering a couple of quotes that I've used extensively over the years in different startups. Well, these are two of my favorites. The first was made by Daniel Burnham, who was one of the original great American skyscraper architects and created a lot of the Chicago skyscraper skyline. In 1893, he was the lead manager of what was very unique at the time, the Chicago World Fair. And talking about the World Fair plan, he said, "Make no small plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood. Make big plans. Aim high in hope and work." Now, we wouldn't talk like that today, but we get the drift. I like this, and I've quoted it many of the startups, as I said. But essentially what he's saying, of course, is think big. Teddy Roosevelt, of course, and you've heard this echoed just recently, said something quite similar when he said, "Dare mighty things." It was nice to see a quote being used with a recent Mars Perseverance project. I believe, essentially, if a startup is worth doing, it's worth doing big, and it's memorable, and it's got to be inspirational. My second favorite quote, and I've been using this one for goodness, I hesitate to say the time, but about 30 years. My second favorite quote is from Lord Kelvin, who in the late 1800s talked about the importance of measurement. He said, "To measure is to know. When you can measure what you are speaking about and express it in numbers, you know something about it. When you cannot measure it, when you cannot express it in numbers, your knowledge is of a meager and unsatisfactory kind. If you cannot measure it, you cannot improve it." Of course, this is the basis of all quality improvement. If you can't measure it, you can't calibrate it, and you can't improve it. I first heard this quote in the early part of my career at Hewlett-Packard. John Young, the CEO of HP from 1978 to 1993, used this quote frequently. It spoke legions to me. It was the core of HP philosophy and has remained a theme for me throughout my entire life.
Wow, Jeff, that's super helpful as we dive into this discussion today. What do you think are the most important metrics for us to measure in tech startups?
Well, first of all, we should remember the tech industry is all about invention and growth. They're the two things that drive us, and they're our lifeblood in the tech industry. I believe the most important top-line measure of success is the growth of customers and the growth of their repeat orders. If you're not adding new customers and getting repeat orders from your customers, you will die. It's as simple as that. So you must track this metric. I believe the most important metric of every period is to ensure you balance your income, your revenue, with your expense. If revenue is growing, then you can grow your expense. The reverse is also true. This can be managed real time. It's not about being over or under budget. That's a waste of time. Budget is the plan. But don't spend to budget if your revenue is below plan. People costs are typically 75% of your operating costs in a software startup. So hiring is the faucet you must control in response to revenue. Cash is king in a startup, as we all know, and watching this metric will help you ensure that you never run out of cash and you manage it appropriately.
Couldn't agree more. Startups know all about runway and managing appropriately because cash is king. And so beyond cash and managing that very important metric, what are other metrics that we should be looking at?
Well, as a CEO, you obviously need to know your business. I believe that facts always beat opinions, and I say that quite frequently throughout the years. A demonstration of that is, as the CEO, you should always have certain numbers at your fingertips. If you don't know these, you worry the questioner. Tracking them also helps you manage your business more real time.
I know that for sure. Prospective investors seem to love quizzing us CEOs on key metrics and ensuring that we have them at the ready at any moment. It really shows that you know the pulse of the company.
Absolutely.
And what do you think then is the most critical beyond knowing just the cash? What other key metrics should we be tracking?
Well, customer data is one of those metrics. How many do you have? Who are the top five largest? What was their initial order size? And what were their subsequent orders? And how long did it take to get you the second order? What do they do with your technology? What's the application? And what benefits did they get from it? And who are the key players at each customer? And have you met them all? Because you need to have met all of those key customers. There's also a lot of data in your customers that you need to understand, like the specifics of the application and what the benefits they derive from using the product. But also you need to understand the purchase order behavior. For example, what is it consistently happening across your customers? Once you find what's consistent, what's the common nugget across those customers, you can find your market. If you understand how they roll out, and when they give you repeat orders, then you know how you can scale your sales team. Once you understand how quickly a salesperson gets up to full productivity and what dollar level that is, then you can start to decide how aggressively you can grow your sales team. So all of this data drives your decision making, but it should be fact-based rather than opinion-based. You also have to know the basics of your company key parameters. How many employees do you have? How many are in engineering, sales, admin, etc.? Where are they, in the headquarters or remote, in the US or overseas? All important data to have at your fingertips.
Absolutely. And so as we then shift from looking at that external perspective of managing the sales team to those customers and who you're serving, what about the internal metrics? What should we be looking at there?
Well, clearly cash is a critical metric. You've got to know how much cash you have today and what your net cash burn per month is. Well, the monthly burn is if you have zero orders, which will happen now and again in a business. When do you need more cash? Always remember, with cash, you need to know how to reduce your spend quickly. People typically, as I said earlier, account for 75% of your cost in the startup. So hiring and firing is your best tool here, but also make sure you don't commit yourself to any high monthly burn rate expenditures that you can stop quickly. So you don't want to have signed up for things that you can't stop in a very quick turnaround. And by the way, when you raise money, you always want to be raising money for a minimum of 2 years cash burn. So that's the guiding factor when you look raising cash. Another important metric is knowing the details of your shareholder investment. This will often come up again when you're doing new rounds. You need to know the total number of shares issued and outstanding, the total invested capital, what was invested each round, the valuation, the date, the lead investor. This should be all tattooed on your forehead, in your brain. The amount of debt you have, if you have some, or any bridge notes that you have, the key investors and the invested capital that's gone in and their percentage ownership, the next round expectations, timing and value. All critical stuff, but you need to have those. And they should be, if you can't remember them, you should have them on a cheat sheet, so you can bring them out and refresh it before you go and see a new investor, because they will ask you those questions. I mentioned the importance of invention earlier in the session. And while it's difficult to define a metric, I think one always needs to remember that invention, i.e. building this better mousetrap we talked in an earlier session about, is very true. No startup succeeds with a me-too product.
And so then, as we look at all of those metrics that we're tattooing to our brain, as you put it, and or writing on our cheat sheet, shifting from that and capturing everything that's happening internally, externally, all those metrics, what should we be looking at when we talk about a management cycle? What do you mean by that?
Well, management cycle is a series of processes that follow rhythmic patterns in your business year. They're annual, quarterly, monthly, weekly. As a CEO, you have to be cognizant of these cycles and manage them. Otherwise, they manage you. I think of the business cycles as like when you go round a board game like Monopoly. When you play a game like that, you have to have a strategy. Let's say you've decided to buy the green and blue sites and build hotels. However, if someone buys the green and blue sites, you have to change your strategy. Business is just the same. You must be able to react to the changes in the market, and you do that by tracking your business metrics in their cycles. So that's kind of the simplistic view of the way I look at it. Now, there are three annual cycles. The first is planning the next year's financial plan and goals. They should be started in Q3. The second is revising your long-term strategy plan. I recommend you do that in Q2. And the third is the annual salary and focal review. And this can be done in any quarter, but it's important to always do it in the same quarter. And in competitive labor markets, of course, you might even have to do a pay review every quarter. Now, there are two main quarterly cycles. The first are board meetings, and they're usually in the second or third week after the end of quarter. The second cycle is the quarterly objective setting and review process, which starts in the last week of the quarter and ends before the board meeting, because you're going to share those results, obviously, with your board members. There's one main monthly cycle, and that's forecasting your orders, expenses, and cash. I also had time management on a personal level on the monthly cycle, because I measure myself against what I intended to do in the month. I measure what I actually did, and you can do this by measuring your percent of time. And I ask myself if my time reflected my priorities. You'll find that you end up spending time with what you like doing, and you don't spend the time on the stuff you don't like doing. So if you measure yourself, you can then go back and focus that. I measure only results, not actions. You've got to ask yourself, did you spend the most of your time in the last quarter on your most important goals?
Well, something that we all could benefit from doing in our professional and personal lives, really every single day, is that regular audit. Looking at our meeting calendar, are we focusing our time on the most important goals? Can you discuss some of objective setting and how you know what those goals are and what we should even be aiming for?
I would tell you that many of the VCs that I've worked with often said I set a better objective setting and measurement systems than anybody else they've seen. And they would often have me talk to other CEOs, new founding CEOs, about objective setting. The thing I'd say about objective setting is it's not rocket science, but it's rarely done well in startups. You have to be disciplined. You have to avoid being distracted by shiny objects and squirrels in a startup. And so you already know a word I use a lot is measure. So objectives, of course, are typically set quarterly. They're not a list of job responsibilities. So knock out anything that smacks of a job responsibility. You know, meet your quota is a job responsibility. And the number is what you're measuring to. And there should be tangible goals that the company, each function, want to achieve in the upcoming quarter, and the executive team are willing to be measured against. So, you know, it starts to be real objective setting when they realize that you're measuring them against the objectives. People then start to set lower objectives so they can achieve them. It's your job to get to stretch. So they need to be stretched, but they also need to be achievable. And measurability is critical. Numerical and binary goals can be much more easily measured and graded easier, of course, than just statements. Achieved, missed, or percentage achieved, or missed can be all used, but don't set too many objectives. Again, one of the common errors is to do too many, and it reads like a job description. So 5 to 10 objectives for the company and each function is sufficient. Remember the mantra as well here, focus. They should be prioritized, and ask yourself, if you achieve these goals, would that be success? I hope the answer is yes. So that ask yourself when you're setting them, that's the case. It's important that the objectives flow down the organization too. While I would not recommend implementing it, something you might want to look at, I wouldn't recommend implementing in a startup, let me say, but you might look at, is Hoshin Kanri. So Hoshin Kanri is a Japanese management tool for ensuring that all objectives are linked and support each other. We implemented that at HP in the 70s, and it was very good, but it's very bureaucratic. But the principle is excellent. So if you're interested in it, Google it and have a look at the ideas, and you'll see how it's been used. End of a period assessment is very important. Misses are often more important than the achieved ones to understand. So look at the missed objectives. They also help you then say, do I carry this forward into the next quarter? And how am I going to fix it this next quarter if we missed it the quarter before? Now, lastly, the weekly cycles. Weekly cycles are things like all hands. which I would start weekly and then I'd stretch them to monthly. When I first go into a startup, I do them weekly, then I go to a monthly cycle. Staff meetings should always be weekly, and one-on-one meetings with your team should be weekly. If you don't plan them, they won't get on your calendar. That's what the basic rule of thumb is there. You know, if you say, well, we'll just do it when we need it, you'll find you'll go 3 weeks without and talk to one of your reports one-on-one. And communication is such a critical function in a startup. More is better, less is worse. Sharing information with your team, all the employees, is a critical part of your job as the CEO. It makes them feel more secure. Also, remember, travel can absorb a lot of your time. So most of your travel will be either to meet customers, attend trade shows, or visit company sites. You need to decide and plan how much you're going to travel. Otherwise, you'll end up traveling more than you intended. You should also plan to meet your customers when you travel. I try to meet a customer once a month and try to do that in conjunction with other travel. Remember, you are the cadence of the heartbeat of the organization. It's set by you. That pace is set by you. You create the urgency. You create the energy, and you set the agenda.
You know, when we talk about the setting that agenda as the CEO, can you teach us a little bit about how you create that agenda through company values? Like, there's so many good things that a company could do and should do, so many very positive words out there, but how do you choose which value to truly embrace and define the unique identity of your company?
Well, you as the CEO have to define and live the values of your company. It starts first with you deciding what they are. Values are things you consider important and are willing to live out in your daily work. I suggest that you start by writing them down and sharing them in the all-hands meetings and with the exec team, ensuring that everyone agrees and understands them and discusses them and believes in those values. For simple, typical values I've postulated, and you've heard me say this before, is mutual respect for each other, honesty, integrity, treat each other the way you expect to be treated, customer come first, and so on. What's important, though, is that you openly state them and you live them and you reinforce them whenever you get the opportunity. And many startups, as I think I've always done, is print them on coffee cups and put them on the wall. You know, you've got to have them there and live them. And people enjoy that. It's part of, and creating them is part of the process as well with the employees real time. It's one a good topic for all hands meetings sometimes is what's the company values.
Yeah, so true. Building that culture together. Also, as you mentioned, it's really you as the leader, as the CEO, that has to live them and communicate them, reinforce them every single day. And that's best done when it's who you truly are. And it's a reflection of who you are as a person, and therefore who you are as a leader, and therefore who the company is and what that path to success looks like. You know, this has been such a fascinating conversation. And as always, our time has flown by. I really appreciate your time, Jeff, and sharing this these really key points of wisdom that help to take a company from success to really growth and scaling beyond that. And so some of the things that I've taken away from this is thinking big and measuring everything we do, really understanding those key metrics like customer growth and how to balance income and expenses, while also understanding the management cycle and ensuring that we're managing to the management cycle, not having it manage us. And then finally, setting good objectives, not just any objectives, but good objectives that then allow us to measure our success. And as we measure as part of that success is the success of the company, the culture of that company. And that can be done through the company values and seeing how we measure against those values that we set. And so this is just so much good stuff here. And I know our listeners probably got even more than what I just shared, some of the summary that I got. But I really appreciate your time, Jeff. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Lou, and very enjoyable.
And to all those listening, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you can tune in next time on How to Become a Successful Startup CEO.